This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
It is today a festival of festivals, boys and girls. We are going to be talking cheese, clippity-clops, doing it in a dress, you name it, we're going to cover it, and we're going to cover it between now and 2 o'clock. My co-host is back, Tad Lombardo. I shouldn't call you. I think I'm going to have to come up with another name for you, Tad Lombardo.
Sounds good.
We'll work that out through the show.
Yep.
Stay with me. Yes, we are talking cravings. It's 6 minutes past one. Thank you, Alistair Kingston for the news and that incredibly funny debate presented to you by Dean Beck on Word for Word between 12 and 1. Incredibly funny and something I shall have to download and podcast, I think, Tad, because, of course, podcasting is my new thing.
It is.
I'm a bit obsessed. Do you podcast at all?
Not until now.
Man.
I haven't done it myself, possibly, you know, but... It's something I'm very interested in.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I do, definitely.
Yeah, as a radio person.
Absolutely, yep.
I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts. I'm now using them to go to sleep. So the ABC Classics had done one, which is 1,000 years of classical music,
okay,
where they sort of take a year or a time and talk about what was going on, and then you end up with 12 or 14 minutes of a sonata or a concerto or something. I'm showing my age. Ira Glass, This American Life, is one of my favourites. I listen a lot.
And but it's great, though. You can download them and listen to them on a plane or wherever you want to. It's good.
As you can do with this show, joy.org.au/cravings, you can go down download podcasts. I think there's 27 pages of about 6 or 8 podcasts per page. So
that's right.
Let's say there's about 250 shows there or more that you can go and listen to. We've been on air now for 8 years, so that means there's probably 400 shows in total. Yep. Not all of them have been podcast. Today we are talking a whole bunch of things, the first of which is cheese. I have before me, Tad, we have before us,
yes,
a maestro of mozzarella. I think that's what we're calling him. His name is Giorgio Languanti. Bienvenuto. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Grazie.
Did I get that all right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Parlo un poco italiano.
Good. Better than linguini sometimes in the beginning. People always start to spelling linguine, now I understand linguanti.
I swear I knew I was going to get it wrong. And a festival, you've been directing festivals for 15 years, I understand. Sota...
Yep.
There you go.
Sochevsky?
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. Just let me do something here. Nice and close. That's
yep.
It. So together you are part of a wine and cheese festival happening in Williamstown. Tell me more.
Okay, so yeah, as you just mentioned before, I've been doing a few festivals, not 15 years of festivals, many different things. But the wine and cheese festival has been going for the last 3 years. So this is third year in a row. And it's, I think, at the moment is the best thing we have in the West, you know. So it's, over the bridge, I think we have the really coolest festival, which is a real festival. It's not just a tasting event. So
it brings joy to my heart that there are people paying attention to the West where I live. It is marvelous. Well done.
Excellent.
So the Big West Festival, wouldn't that be the coolest thing in the West?
Well, I haven't been to that one, so I haven't seen it yet.
If you haven't been to any other festivals in the West except for yours, then it is definitely the coolest.
I've been to many.
The coolest
to many,
festival
no,
in
trust
the
me,
West.
Trust me, I've been to many.
3 years of a wine and cheese festival in Williamstown. How did it start?
How did it start? Well, I've been doing different types of festivals before, but I don't know. I've been to many festivals in Melbourne where food and wine is exhibited, but I didn't find them. I mean, obviously there is companies exhibiting their products, but I couldn't see the atmosphere of a festival. And from my background doing other things in life, you know, from different type of festivals and concerts and things like that, I thought, yeah, let's combine some good atmosphere with tasting event and become a real festival. So that's how it came up.
And there's never enough wine and cheese, let's be honest.
No, there's never enough.
Never.
And what makes the Williamstown Festival different to other cheese
well,
festivals?
Well, it's, okay, so what it is, the venue itself is just amazing. The venue is, it's an old industrial boat shed, okay. You know, where we can fit at least 50 vendors.
Yep.
And there's amazing outside area with perfect sea views of the city, you know, best sea views, you know, in yeah. Melbourne. You can see the pier, all the boats, and obviously, last 3 years it's always been a really good weather.
Yes.
Hopefully it's going to be good weather again. So on a 25-30 degree day, yeah. Usually this end of October, it's just amazing atmosphere.
Fingers crossed.
Plus everything else from the music and other great. Things we can yeah. talk about, yeah.
You've got some good sponsors. Sorry, I'm just looking at the Yeelands, Volkswagen and Mercedes. Optus, Wine, Cheeky Grog Co., Bank of Melbourne. This is a, right, it's going in my car. And you, we are.
Most look. Of them, to be honest, the first year it was difficult to find sponsors, but now this year, to be honest, half of those, they have approached us, you know, so that's probably people who've heard about the festival and seen the atmosphere and they've been approaching us. So now it's much easier, obviously, than when we started.
Excellent.
Yep. And but. Again, if anyone is listening, it's never enough sponsors. So if you want to join,
yes, of course.
Welcome.
Straight for the plug. And ladies and gentlemen, we're done. Giorgio, tell me about your involvement with this festival, first of all.
It's the third year.
Yes.
We participate to the festival. And now, actually, we're looking for this festival. It's one of the best festivals we've never been as a exhibitor. Mm-hmm. And the real reason is exactly what Soti said. The atmosphere is like a festa. You want
like
to start
a good Italian festa. Mm.
Yes, mm. Yes, absolutely. The venue is magic. You go inside, the atmosphere catching you. The music, the people, the full harmonious activity inside there is nice. And then if we go outside on the pier, like you said, there is the sea. They're always very magic. The sea is very attractive. Plus, you can see the shepherd's sheep, the warriors of the sea, magic there. Then fantastic. And the atmosphere, the music. I mean, you want to stay there all day. It's enough kind of expo or festa or festival where you want to go, do your tour, stand, have some sample, some food, and go away. You want to. You feel comfortable to stay there all day long. Fantastic. And for us, it's been good because being Italians and festas is something we really enjoy.
Yeah. And also part of the fabric of Melbourne's inner west was built on waves of multiculturalism.
Absolutely.
So if we think back to Footscray and Yarraville in the 1940s and 50s, they are post-Second World War migrants who settled in the area because of its socioeconomic availability. So seeing the festas that can sort of replicate some of those ideas that you speak of are quite important.
Fantastic. For us, it's a very good opportunity to present our new cheeses. Mm-hmm. We always have a new cheese on the go, and it's a good chance to see nice customers that are interested to talk about cheese. Yeah.
Yeah, now that you mentioned also the suburbs where the festival is, the first year most of the people were from Williamstown, Yarraville, Seddon, Maribyrnong, all these areas. Now, because I can see on internet, you know, where the people are buying tickets from, I can see that actually from Port Melbourne, South Melbourne, from St Kilda,
mate,
from
you've creamed it. You've got the
people
yuppies
coming.
You're done.
So it's people just coming now, even from the other parts of the city. It's not just from the west.
Good Lord, they're coming across the bridge.
Yeah, coming across the bridge. Yeah,
it is 1:30 You're here on Joy 94.9, Ted Lombardo and Pete Dylan. We are Cravings, and we are going to be back in your radio in just a second.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dylan on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
We're going to have to get all these changed, Tad, because now you're listening to Pete Dillon and Tad Lombardo. We together now are Cravings. It's such a joy to have a co-host every week. It takes a bit of pressure off. I don't have to do all the thinking. It's great for a Saturday. Sotir Sochevsky and Giorgio Languanti are both... Giorgio and Sotir in the studio talking about the Wine and Cheese Fest happening at Seaworks in Williamstown. Giorgio, I want to talk a little bit about how you got to cheese. Where did this come from? Where did you start to learn to make cheese? Is it a generational thing, or is it just something you decided one day you needed to do?
My story in cheese is very, very unique, very strange. When I arrived in Australia...
There's no strange stories, man.
Yes, I realized that. when I arrived in Australia 12 years ago, really, I was coming from a background of advertising. Mm-hmm. But not speaking any word of English, I couldn't do it my profession as advertiser, and because I couldn't speak English, I couldn't communicate. So I approached different jobs. Like first, my job was in the fruit shop, and then I approached a cheese factory, and there I started to take some interest. Really, more interest was the curiosity coming up from do better my job, and the boss was just telling me all the time, "What do you want to know? I'll not tell you." So this was a little bit challenging, and after reading books and start experimenting at home, I became a little bit more confident with that. Then working at night to another kind of a factory, having my morning free and dream about do something else, I started a business. So with no experience in cheese making coming from Italy. So the only things I have about experience was a good understanding about the good flavor of cheese. And this was the start of my business.
It's almost part of your DNA, being Italian. If you don't know about cheese, you're Italian. There's something wrong. Tad, I'm seeing a lot of parallels in your story.
Yeah,
because
there are.
Tad's an engineer and decided one day to make chocolate.
Wow. I never had any experience doing it, but you re-educated myself and realized I was actually obsessed with it. And only the last 6 years, 7 years that I've been doing that. So it's quite interesting stories that it's, you know.
But this is the good things about Australia, give you a chance to discover your talent. The things to be able to change and experimenting and do other things. When it's different in Europe, you're stuck to your job, you know, leave your job, you know, even if they kick you out.
For 40 years, You get the gold watch.
Yeah, you really
get the gold watch. 0427JOY949, should you wish to take part in today's discussion. The first part of the show is about the Wine and Cheese Fest happening at Seaworks in Williamstown in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
We'll talk a little later about the clippity-clops. There's business going on at Caulfield, horses running around the track. We're actually talking about food at the races, so it's an important thing. And then a little further into the program towards the end, we're going to talk about a charity thing that is happening that has nothing to do with festivals or horses, but it does involve dresses. So there is a very loose theme running through today's program, 18 minutes past one. It's 15 degrees, heading for top of 18. I tell you, sitting up in this studio, and I think all you gentlemen will agree with me, it looks magnificent outside. The sun's shining. It does. We're looking across Melbourne's skyline. It's very beautiful.
It's amazing.
Looks higher than 15.
It does, yeah, absolutely.
It feels warmer than 15. I'm wearing shorts.
Does. I know. It's always hot in the studio.
It is hot in the studio, but it looks beautiful outside. I hope you're enjoying your day wherever you are. 0427JOY949 if you wish to take part. Or you can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can send a tweet to CravingsJOY949 and tell us what you're doing for the day. So you came to this cheese idea, and being something about Europeans being entrepreneurial as well. So if I can't find it, I'll start a business. And it's not an uncommon thing either.
Being at 35 and start again in my life, I was thinking, okay, what do they do? For building kind of a superannuation can give you stability on your old age, I should start 20 years ago. I know every 20 years ago. So better to start to do something else.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, so the idea of the cheese come up with start to making cheese for the family. One of my first products was some unique cheeses called, now in Australia, it's called bocconcini leaf. Mm-hmm. Practically, it's a bocconcini flat, if you can imagine.
Flat bocconcini, like I've run over it with a car.
But it's a bocconcini cheese, ready to go. Practically, you roll in with the other ingredients inside. You put layers of smoked salmon or vegetables,
some sun-dried tomatoes or something like that. That'd be beautiful.
Roll them up and then you slice all these rolls of ingredients together. And the funny thing is, when I build up the, when I created the name, that's amore cheese, it means that's a love. That's a love cheese, because I believe in what you do with love, you always have better results. But the Bocconcini leaf name come up with another story. The name translates from mozzarella sfoglia in Italian in mozzarella sheet. But at the time, my English was so bad, then I couldn't pronounce that. And I said to my graphic designer, please help me, let's try another name, because this is sheet. It's not coming out.
Mozzarella sheet. Yeah.
So, a real story, it became a name more gentle, Bocconcini.
It's more gentle, I like that.
Yes, yes, it's funny. Sotia, how did you come to be doing what you're doing? So,
to what I'm doing, yeah.
Okay, another migrant.
In my real life, I'm engineer, actually, I'm managing engineers at the moment. That's my full-time job, this guy paying my mortgage.
Small world.
This was something, a hobby of mine, you know, always organizing parties and boat parties and whatever. And when it came to the festivals I mentioned before, I've been to many festivals that, I mean, obviously everyone is having their own theme for a festival. But previously he mentioned, you know, on our festival you can stay like 6-7 hours and not be bored. You know, I've been to many festivals. Obviously, there is even more vendors than we have. But after 1 hour, 1.5 hour, once you try whatever exhibits there, you just don't feel like staying, you know, you try and you go. Where on our festival, we try to build that atmosphere, you know, so you love standing 6 hours, 7 hours, and even now we're creating after party with gypsy music or something, so for the few hundred people, you know, they want to stay later, they can still stay. So it's like all day thing, you know, we have grapestone competition that no other festivals do, you know, so it's something interactive with people.
There is one festival that does a grape stomp, the Grampians Grape Escape that happens in Halls Gap in May does a grape stomp every year.
Okay, that's not in Melbourne, I haven't been, but yeah, that's good to know, I'll go maybe have a look at that one, yeah. So yeah,
eight
that is what we're trying to
program.
Do.
I've just got so much information.
Too much information. I wasn't prepared. Yeah. That's good.
And you've got a masterclass program?
Yeah, masterclass programs. Yeah, so that's what we are just having more and more every year. The first year we didn't. The second year we had few. This year we're gonna have every half an hour we have master programs, because people like Giorgio and other exhibitors who want to exhibit their products in front of many people and get more attention. Definitely, it's really good for us, for the festival, to have something like that. Also for the exhibitors themselves, you know, to talk about their wine and cheese.
Is there a sense of sorry, Ted, I feel like I keep cutting you off. Is there a sense of bringing a cultural event as much as a food and wine event? Because clearly you're also not a nativist. Well, not native Australian. Yes. Bad choice. Not Australian born.
Yes. So, I would say I'm from overseas, from Macedonia, and I go there every year, you know, so obviously when I go there is always concerts and festivals and everything, you know, so that atmosphere that we have there, it is a bit different than here. I don't know why. Is it the people? Is it the mentality? Is it, I don't know, it's something different, you know, so obviously me and I've got a couple of partners, all of us are sort of Europeans.
Yeah.
We have that sort of in us, maybe, I don't know, in the genes, you know, so when we are doing the festivals, we are doing it us for ourselves, you know, and obviously many people like it, and yeah, we will try to build that atmosphere that we have overseas.
That's right. I think Melbourne, I mean, being sort of in my mind, the food and cultural capital of Australia, though Sydney wouldn't agree, but
screw Sydney.
Melbourneites love a festival, especially if it's to do food and wine of some form, so yeah. I think it's, you can pretty much do no wrong in that sort of thing.
So many festivals. Like if you go on Google, like every weekend, there's like at least 10 or 15 festivals in Melbourne, and all of them are attended by people, you know, so people love that, you know, so regardless which suburb you're in, you know, if you have something good, you know, you build that atmosphere, you know, it's people will come, you know, so regardless where you do it, and it's always going to be people for it. Yeah. Melbourne is just, place like that where, as you mentioned before, it's built on multiculturalism, so people like this kind of,
And look, it's funny, there's three cheese festivals that have come across our desk in the last little while. So yours is on the 23rd. On the 22nd of October is the
Prahran Market Cheese Festival.
Yeah. Say Cheese.
That's the second one.
Which is a one-day festival. Yours is a one-day festival. And then from the 10th to the 20th of November, there is a festival called Bon Fromage, which is a the cheeses are all European, so from the European Union. And it runs for 10 days. And it's a 10-day cheese festival. So it seems there seems to be a desire or a want for cheese festivals, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. We can see that on the on our festival as well. You know, so we have 8 cheese producers this year. You know, and all of them represent. I mean, every year we have more and more. You know, so there is lots of cheese producers. Georgia probably knows more about that. You know, so people just love to consume fine products.
Are all the producers local that you have coming in? The cheese producers?
How many? We have 8 of them.
All local?
All local, yes. Yep. Sorry, yeah. All local, yep, yeah. Okay. But they have different backgrounds, like Georgia. They're Italian, they're French, some of them Australian, you know, but yeah, they're all from Victoria.
Yep. Do you have any Serbian donkey cheese?
We don't, but... I would try to find that for next year. Yeah, I get some Macedonian cheese, which is smelly again.
Well, there's a the Serbian donkey's milk cheese. So right. Donkeys produce milk. Novak Djokovic, who is number one tennis, male tennis player in the world, owns something like 97% of the donkey cheese production in Serbia. Right. So he owns it.
Is anybody doing that in Australia with donkey milk?
I don't know. And we've got to see if it's being done. But apparently it's interesting to say the least.
Well, have you tried it?
To me, it's sort of, it has a taste not unlike goat's cheese, that sort of astringent kind of taste, but it's something textural about it that I'm not quite convinced. Mm-hmm. Making cheese out of my ass.
Interesting. I'm fascinated.
It is fascinating. Yeah. So yes, we need to see if we can get hold of some donkey milk cheese.
I wish I met you before, you know, because I was going to do some research who is importing and I was going to bring them, you know, but yeah, now I will know for the next one.
Yes, donkey's milk cheese. If you've had it, let us know. 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can tweet to cravingsjoy949. Or you can ring 1-300-569-949. You can interact with this program because it is your program. It's 15 degrees, heading for top of 18. We're going to take another brief respite and we'll return with Giorgio and Satya, Ted Lombardo and myself, Pete Dillon. This is Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Manny Feldel and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9, 28 minutes past one. I'm curious if you have tried cheese made from a donkey, a camel, or a yak. Because I've just discovered while we're having those messages that we were talking about donkey cheese just before we did that, and I've just discovered that there is a farmer who in South Australia who has applied to use those alternative milks to support his own dairy industry to make cheeses from either camel, yak, or donkey. Have you had yak's milk?
No,
I have.
Yeah, in those fermented stuff.
Yes,
it smells like nothing I've ever smelled.
I've had it once.
Imagine an old pair of shoes that died. That's what it smells like. Although a lot of European cheeses do have quite a pungent,
strong
smell. Nice. Those epoisses and the washed rind cheese and stuff. They do get a little bit like old cheese. Yak, camel, not buffalo. What did I say? Yak, camel, or donkey.
Yes.
So we may be able to find it in Australia, and it is now my mission, Sota, to find this cheese and see if we can consume some because it's I'm fascinated. Wine and Cheese Festival is happening in Williamstown on the 23rd of October. It is the third festival.
Yep, it's third festival in Williamstown. Otherwise, we are doing another one as well in North Melbourne in Mid Market. So that's in April every year. You know, so last year was the first one. 2nd of April this year is going to be the second one.
Oh, excellent. So
you're
doing it's a festival of festivals almost.
Yes.
There is a festival on in this town every week, it seems. There is, you know, we're known for our big festivals, the comedy festival, the food and wine festival, sporting festivals like no other country in the world. It's becoming, you know, there's chocolate festivals and there's all sorts of. There was
Truffle festivals.
Today, just when I was coming here, I met one of our vendors in Malkaus the other day, Cider Festival.
Today.
So many people, every corner is a festival. He was mentioning there is
Salami Festival.
In High Street.
We have another stall there today with the Salami
Festival. The Salami Festival. Mm. Tomorrow, is the Salami Festival on today?
Today and tomorrow,
God, my life's too full. I don't have time for all the festivals.
Physically, we can't make it to all of them. You know, it's just too many of them.
Fantastic. Fest, another great festival.
Why did you choose wine and cheese?
Well, it's just I don't know. It's some, but I've been to many food and wine festivals, So this is pretty similar, but I had to come with a different name. And most of our vendors are wine and cheese, you know, so like 90% of the vendors are. So it was just something straightforward.
And potentially one chocolate.
Yeah, exactly something one. Straightforward. You know what it is. You know, when you hear it, wine and cheese, yep, at least I will get wine and cheese. Everything extra is a bonus.
How many people do you get on the day?
So the first year we had almost 5,000 people. Mm-hmm. Last year we had 4,000. This year, I don't know, but hopefully we're going to get something similar. I know that on the day there is many other festivals, so it just depends, you know, what people like to do.
What are you capable of? What are you capable of managing from a people point of view?
Up to 5,000 people we can manage. Great. Yeah. After that, it's different type of licenses. But online, if we pre-sell 4,000 tickets, then we stop selling online, and then it's just we allow for maybe up to 1,000 people to buy on the day.
At the door,
because liquor licensing becomes a major event after 5,000 people.
Yeah. Yep.
All this useless information that I'm able to draw out of my brain today. It is alarming, given I was at the North Melbourne Best and Fairest last night. However, Giorgio, your family, you're from advertising. There's something in the Italian DNA that's just cost you $250. You've just bought a membership. Anybody whose phone rings while we are in this studio buys a membership to the station. I'll do it for you for $84. There you go. there's something in the Italian DNA that is so intrinsically linked, so close to food. It's like I know people say that we all love food and we all like to eat, but it seems to be almost a religious experience every meal in Italy.
In Italy, I think they put cheese everywhere. They sprinkle cheese even on the... Think about it. Desserts, the majority is done with a lot of cheese. Desserts,
mascarpone and
with mascarpone ricotta. Exactly. Mm. And plus cheese, all the pastas, dishes, they have cheese and lasagna and pizza especially.
So risotto. Pretty much,
Risotto and involtini, meat involtini with the cheese inside. Yeah. The cheese must be involved otherwise. But I believe in my new experience, especially in Australia, we all attached a lot to cheese. And my personal feeling is just because it comes from milk. And let's not forget that we all, we're born, we depend
on
milk. And that's why a lot of people that are cheese lovers. You can find a lot of people, maybe they're vegetarian, but on cheese, everyone meet together. Yeah.
It's interesting though, because I know, like for myself, it's, you know, a lot of the food memories I have were from, you know, my family and my mother's side and my father's side, and my father's side's the Italian side, and it was always about the food, and there was always so much of it, and, you know, those food memories you try to recreate now, and a lot of it is around certain types of cheese that were certain ingredients.
Absolutely.
It's quite interesting.
Speaking of Italian, do we have to say hello to Mum today? Is she listening?
Yes.
Hello, Linda.
New Jersey.
Tad's mum is in New Jersey. She tunes in every week to listen to him
the
wireless.
Hi, Mum. The whole South European region, the food is sort of the main thing. I just want to mention something. Like, I was in Macedonia for a month now. Yeah. I just came back, and when I come back and people are asking me, like, what was the weather? Like I said, mate, I've been just in the restaurants from the morning till the evening, you know, like I never leave the restaurant, you know, so I don't really see the weather. Yeah.
That's right.
So it's,
Are you surprised at how much we just love cheese and food and wine? How much it's sort of intrinsic into, as I was saying, it's quite a European thing, but it's very much become our way of life, that if we want to catch up with somebody, we do it over a coffee or a meal. Oh, you know, we've got time. Let's have breakfast or go for brunch or go out for lunch, dinner. And it just seems to be that thing that we do.
Absolutely. But I noticed in the last few years, let's say in the last 7-8 years, you say, okay, let's catch up for coffee. If it's into maybe 2 o'clock, after that is let's catch up for aperitivo, or let's catch up for a glass of wine. And it's already started changing. Also in the last 12 years I'm here in Australia, I saw a lot of changing on the habit of the people. Cheese and wine really matching very well and bring along lots of people. And there's a lot of appreciation for cheese, for what are we doing. I remember, let's say in Italy, if you think about cheese maker, you think about person then working with milk, with the animals, or maybe smell too much. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, it's a very, you become like a superstar. Oh, you are cheese maker. Wow. Talk me about what you're doing and why are you doing it. It's become really a nice adventure for me.
Yeah.
How big is your company? How big is your business?
When I started 8.5 years ago, probably it was Me and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and now we are about 63 people in the company.
63?
Yeah, we have a brand new presence in Thomastown. We still do a lot in My The Cheeses.
Mm.
Plus, we have a beautiful retail shop at the factory. And yeah, a big team between drivers and then driver selling the van, the cheese with the van. Around Melbourne, you can see this beautiful van with the I Love Mozzarella stamped on the side.
I've seen it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's are you surprised at how successful you've become?
It's just I really thanks God about that. Yeah, I was expecting when I started making bocconcini leaf and got up at 3 o'clock in the morning by myself and at the end of the day, 8 o'clock at night, and start again. I wasn't thinking about all these experience with the radio, with the television, with the people they're fascinating and they ask you about what you do and what you're not, and all this growth of the company. And yeah, absolutely. Very nice, very nice.
And what's your specialty? Is it still bocconcini? Do you still make those bocconcini leaves?
Yeah, we're not making big quantity of that just because of people, they are more happy that somebody else prepared the meal, so they don't like to spend time in preparing themselves. Yeah. But yeah, the majority of mozzarella family is our specialty. Mm. Practically, we make a bocconcini mozzarella in all different shape and size.
Do you make burrata?
We are the first one making burrata in Australia.
God, I love burrata. Are you a fan?
I am.
That beautiful sort of,
yep,
like a mozzarella skin, and then you cut it, and it's just oozy cream. Oh,
yep. So literally.
This is one of my
come along at the Williamstown Festival, we'll have a burrata serving every fresh on fresh
I will
tomato.
Come and buy burrata. Yes. By the kilo.
Good. And mozzarella practically filled, smoked, white, plain, or buffalo milk or cow's milk, and mozzarella has been our slogan also. I love mozzarella. You see it on t-shirt, right, on Sven, and everywhere. But
and what other cheeses do you make?
In the last 2 years, since we are in the new premises, we started a new range of mature cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
We have two that really...
Like a cheddar type of
one
cheese.
One is called Secrets of the Forest.
Yep.
Practically because it was a combination of Australian black winter truffle together with buffalo milk. And for giving come the over magic on this combination, we practically mature in the cheese inside of wild eye. And so the aroma and the character the cheese take is fantastic. Plus, we release in limited edition, selling in a beautiful timber box.
Yeah,
it's become another signature. Another product that we're launching at the moment is called Drunken Buffalo. Practically, it's a buffalo milk cheese maturing under wine lees and skin grape from Nebbiolo.
Do you press it on the outside of the cheese?
Yes. And the full mature room smell like wine, fantastic.
How long does it take?
6 months minimum before we start to release some batches. The wine come from these grape is the wine is in Heathcote.
Yep,
Vinea Marsan.
Central Victorian.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Plus, we're experimenting all the time. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you, first of all, for coming and joining us. The Wine and Cheese Festival is on at SeaWorks in Williamstown, 23rd of October. If you go, you can win a 3-month supply of wine as well, which is win at wineandcheesefest.com.au. Go on to your favorite search engine, or you can just go to wineandcheesefest.com.au and sort that all out. Guys, thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Good luck with the festival. I'm sure that it's going to go incredibly well.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
Everything is online and on air at joy.org.au. It is 1:45, 2:15 here on a glorious Saturday afternoon. We are celebrating all things festivals. We've talked wine and cheese, and we are now to talk food and horses.
Horses, yeah.
Julian Robertshaw. No, Kyle is with us. Kyle, hello.
G'day, how are you?
Good, thank you. I'm getting confused to who I'm talking to. I've got so many lines going here.
That's all right. It's a bit rowdy down here as well.
That's all right. You are at Caulfield and within a marquee. Tell us what you're doing down there.
Great to be part of the Caulfield Guinness today. We are showcasing a couple of dishes that go very well for us at these festivals. We've got our Miyagi dried chicken, just like the chicken karaage.
I love chicken karaage.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit of Japanese crack, as I call it, the Japanese mayo. You can't say no to that. We also have our Bombay.
Hang on, Kyle, stop for me. Is that like Kewpie mayonnaise?
Kewpie, yeah.
Oh. All of my favourite things in one place, Kewpie mayonnaise and Japanese fried chicken.
That's it. That's it.
Perfect. Sorry, and the other thing you have going on?
We've just launched a new taco in the restaurant at Mr. Miyagi, and this is our Bombay soft-shell tempura crab. And we've had to put it on the menu because we bring them to these festivals and put them in a banana.
And then people arrive into Mr. Miyagi and think that's what they're going to have.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
What's the idea of taking restaurants? I know that Scott Pickett is there with the Estelle by Scott Pickett. I know that Ian Curley is there as well. What's the idea behind taking restaurants to Caulfield Racecourse?
Well, I think that it's serving a discerning buying style, and chips on sticks don't really cut it when you've got all the ladies that are flocked up to the nine, and people are out to have a really celebratory day. So I think that it should only be matched by the quality of food that's on offer as well. As you know, Melbourne, you know, we love our restaurants, we love our food. And it's just showcasing the calibre of what we can do.
I suppose you can't ask someone wearing a $2,000 dress in $1,000 shoes and with a $500 handbag to be hopping into a Chico roll, can you?
You don't want to be looking like Gucci and having a full install. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's wandering around in my Gucci with a Chico roll or a couple of potato cakes. Ted, are you a fan of the races?
I am. I haven't been able to go to the races in the last couple of years because of my business, but I've, you know, loved going to the races. It's always a big part of you know, Melbourne culture, and you know, you go and you have a great day, and hopefully the weather cooperates, which this time of year isn't always the case. Today you're pretty lucky, I think. But yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's you know, being in Melbourne, it's something that you normally do, right? And you know, how many people do you expect to get today through the races? Do you know what the numbers are like today, Kyle? Hello, Kyle, are you there?
Sorry, yep.
Sorry.
Just a little bit there.
That's all right. The phone connection's probably not great, but just was curious as to if you knew how many you know, people will be coming through the gates today, all up at the Caulfield races today.
Yeah, I've got no idea how many speakers are catering for 2,000.
That's just in your marquee, is that right?
Just in my marquee. Yeah. So this is our first year at the races. You know, we've done a tight little market numerous times, so we're the newbies on the block.
Oh, okay. So it's exciting.
Well, I'm sure with the success of your business, Mr. Miyagi, that you will be successful out there at Caulfield. Put a fiver on race 8, number 6. It's always a winner.
I'd put $9 on our six-piece chicken, and you're guaranteed to be a winner.
Oh, look at you go. Nicely done, Kyle. Nicely done. Thanks for talking to us, buddy.
No worries.
Enjoy the day.
Bye-bye.
You
can get out there and have incredible gourmet food at Caulfield Racecourse for the spring racing season, which officially almost kicks off today. So we've got, I think there's 3 race days at Caulfield this week, with next Saturday being the Caulfield Cup. Someone else we wanted to talk to, it's a frightening thing to imagine Benjamin Cooper in a dress, but it is going to happen. He's part of a group of people, and I'm about to talk a lot about that group of people, but he joins us on the phone. Ben Cooper from Chin Chin, good afternoon.
Hi, good sir.
Good, thank you. Say hello to Tad. I've got a regular co-host. It's the two-man show now, mate.
Oh, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm very well, how are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
He makes chocolate as well. He's a chocolatier.
Yes.
Hey, what's this business of doing things in a dress?
So, about a month back, Pierre Roloff, the great dessert chef, approached me and said, look, I'm putting together a team for a bit of a fundraiser for girls in Sierra Leone and Uganda to send them to school. And he said, all it's required is that you wear a dress for a day. So I thought, why not?
Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a fright. A couple of years ago, my wonderful husband, who was chefing on oil rigs, as you know, did this same thing. Did you know?
Really?
Yes.
On the oil rig?
On the oil rig. He wore a school dress, a girl's school dress for the day.
How did that go over?
It's hilarious, right?
It's a great organisation. I think, you know, as a chef, you don't always feel like you can necessarily contribute to a lot of things going on in the outside world. But when you're given the opportunity, you take it and try and
try and make a bit of a difference.
Well, I think what you're doing is fantastic, because you're making people realise that there are a whole bunch of others around the world who live in far more challenging circumstances than we do.
Yeah, look, I've got three kids of my own, you know, and I've got two boys and a girl, and the idea that my daughter wouldn't be given the same educational possibilities as my sons really terrifies me. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like for my daughter to live in a world where she wasn't given that opportunity. So the least I can do is to try and help make a difference for girls in other countries to achieve what should be everyone's given right to have an education.
Indeed, or to be able to have access to medical services, or not to be not to go through genital mutilation, or it's a wonderful program. Hey mate, you've got a target of raising 14 grand now. I just want to quickly run.
I think we're almost halfway there at the moment.
Yeah, you're close. So Pierre Roloff, you mentioned, who's put it together, Sel Malatesta from the St. Ali Group involved, Danny Vallant, food writer, Jesse Gerner from Bomba, Adriano Zumbo, the Sweets Queen, Scotty Pickett's with you, Ray Capaldi, Dan Krancic. It's a massive team. Who put it all together?
So Pierre and his wife have pretty much brought it together. And an amazing job they've done. We had some photos done the other day for the paper, and a really good bunch of people that are all incredibly busy in their own right, and it's really fantastic to see them just going above and beyond to try and make a difference for other people.
Mate, you're one of an industry that is, I think, generally or genuinely altruistic. So we are. We are very lucky that we have an industry that cares. If people want to know more and they want to chip in a few bucks to support what you're doing, they go to doitinaddress.com. What's the team name?
Shefford in Address.
Shefford in Address.
Well, anyone out there that follows me on Instagram, you can log into my Instagram page, and the link is at the top of my page.
Excellent.
And you can get in that way.
No worries. We look forward to seeing you do it in a dress, chefing in a dress. It's
there'll be photos, don't you worry.
I would expect nothing else. Just do me one favour, mate, and put on a pair of jocks for a change.
Well, we're still to TBC.
And it's now all of a sudden gotten distasteful. Benjamin Cooper, thank you.
I was looking for a pair of gym bloomers.
A pair of what?
What?
You know, the old school gym bloomers.
Oh, God. We have to go now. Ben Cooper from Chin Chin. Good luck. That is Ben Cooper. He is from Chin Chin. If you go to doitinaddress.com and then the team is Shefford in Address, you'll see there's 19 different people involved. Lisa Vell-Morbiter from Peter Pippo is in there. There's a whole bunch of people. So do go on and support them. They only need to raise $14,000. I think you could help them exceed their expectations. And we have an email. I'm very happy that this email's now starting to come in every week. I've got a new obsession with Tad's mum. Tad and Pete, I'm listening. Happy that your show's on an hour earlier. Well, thank you to Daylight Saving. We have to get out of bed an hour earlier. Love your shows. Keep up the great work. That is from Linda, listening in New Jersey. So we are delighted to have your company, Linda, all the way on the other side of the world. And I'll probably come and visit you in June when I'm in that neck of the woods.
Are you going? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, I'll go and knock on your mum's door. Hi. It is 4 minutes to 2 here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. We shall return momentarily to wrap things up and go and find some cheese. I've all of a sudden got a hankering.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Dan Churchill from MasterChef. You're listening to Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You are here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. It is 3 minutes remaining till... Oh, 2 minutes remaining till 2 o'clock. A reminder, if you want to know more about the Wine and Cheese Festival that is happening at SeaWorks in Williamstown, You can do that by going to wineandcheesefest.com.au. If you would like to know more about what's happening at the Caulfield Races with food, you can go to mrc.racing.com and you can find out what's happening there in Marquees. And if you would like to know more about what Ben Cooper is doing with the other 18 people, they are doing it in a dress. So you go to doitinadress.com and you find the team Shepherd in a dress. I think it's hilarious.
So do I. It's funny. Mm. It's going to be good.
And some of those people I would like to see in a dress. There are many that I would not.
No, yeah, you can pick the list.
The Escape Pod will take you travelling after 2 p.m. They're going somewhere with a... They have a couple who are going to just regale you with their personal travel stories. And that's sort of... It's like being at a party and someone tells you, oh, yes, you know, I was at an ashram in India. And I get very... I get really jealous of people who travel a lot.
So do I.
My travel... I travel in Australia a lot for work, sort of a flight,
but that doesn't count.
Flight to Perth. But, yeah, people travelling overseas, I get... particularly jealous. Yeah. I have a friend who works with the International Concierge Association, James. Right. And every time I turn around, he's like, I can't do anything. I'm going to be away. I'm going somewhere.
It's always nice to go somewhere, but yeah, it's always best if it's on a holiday as opposed
to
work.
Well, you're right. Doing a 24-hour round trip to Perth gets a little challenging.
Yes, the red eye.
And your mother has responded. She said she'd love for me to visit.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Accommodation sorted.
Make sure you got plenty of wine there, Linda. Yeah. We shall return next week. We're going Greek next week.
We are. We've got...
Kathy
Staples from the Sweet Greek in the Pran Market has a new book that she's launching, and it's her second cookbook, and we're going to be talking all about that and hearing a bit more about Kathy's story. So.
And then in 2 weeks, we are so organized.
2 weeks.
You're on board. Everything's all of a sudden organized.
I don't know about that.
2 weeks, we're talking Flavors of Bali and Darren Purchase. But right now we are talking travel because we have to go. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks, Tad.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organization, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.